Welcome to episode number 33 of the First Responder Wellness Podcast. This is the show where we talk about wellness and mental health within the first responder community. My name is Conrad Weaver, and I'm grateful that you've joined us today. Thanks for taking time to listen or to watch this podcast. I really do appreciate it. Scott Medlin is a United States Marine Corps veteran who went on to a career of nearly 15 years in law enforcement. In 2020, Scott began his journey to inspire and encourage police officers to be fulfilled and excel by focusing on their personal well-being in order to survive the career and better serve the public. Scott has spoken openly about his own struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder, addiction, and depression. Scott is a relatable and dynamic speaker, author, and content creator, and has presented at numerous first responder conferences and police academies. Scott's work has also been featured on major platforms, including Police One, Law Enforcement Today, as well as Top Rank Police Podcast, and much more. Stay tuned for my in-depth conversation with Scott. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast, and I'm so grateful for everyone who's joining us on YouTube. If you're on an audio app like Apple Podcasts, I want to invite you to join us on the YouTube channel where you could watch this interview and all the others. Plus, we have a ton of additional content there, including my series recap from our Coast to Coast bicycle tour this past summer. So come on over to YouTube and subscribe to the Wellness channel, and I'll see you there. Thanks again for listening and watching, and now here's my conversation with Scott Medlin. Well, Scott, welcome to the First Responder Wellness Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
I'm honored to be here, Conrad. Thank you.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about you. What's your connection to first responders?
Well, I got sworn into law enforcement in 2007 and then was sworn all the way to 2022. And so that's just my career experience, firsthand experience, working as a police officer and then working with other first responders throughout the career. Prior to that, I was in the Marine Corps and two deployments to Iraq in 2003 and 2005. And my law enforcement career, I must say, I'm very proud of what I did and wouldn't take it back for anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your service, both to the country as a whole and to your community as a law enforcement officer. I really appreciate that. You guys make sacrifices that that the rest of us don't really understand. And so how has those experiences, how did they shape who you are today?
Oh, my. Really showing, like in the Marines, I learned the true dynamic aspect of discipline, self-discipline. The Marines just hammered discipline into us. And then in law enforcement, the ability to respond to things that you really have to dig deep and find courage. And then also learn how to communicate with people and connect with people. That was big, communication. But then also the ability just to bounce back from hard times. I'm talking personally, but also some things I saw and helped people through in the job, whether it be other officers or people I interacted with in the public.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment in your career, specifically as a law enforcement officer, where you kind of did some self-evaluation and were like, I'm not kind of who I thought I was or who I wanted to be? Was there a moment like that?
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, I had said three words that a lot of police officers say, I am fine. I said that a lot after numerous calls and personal experiences and challenges going on at home as well. In 2016, all that came full circle. And my wife was pretty much sick and tired of me not living the job, but it was pretty much my main purpose and focus in life. And I was not present to her or our newborn son at the time. And she basically said, we're going to do this on our own. And I thought, oh, shoot, I have become that person, that police officer I never thought I'd be, nor did I ever want to be. And that was an awakening moment for sure.
Hmm. Do you think that's typical within law enforcement or first responders as a whole, that kind of mindset of all in, total focusing, that's a thing?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Overall, yes. It can get so bad with some that they'll intentionally seek to do more work rather than be at home because the job brings more of the rush, the calling, the purpose, rather than being at home. Say, I mean, it is what it is. You're at home, say you have a baby and you're changing diapers. I mean, being out there chasing people with warrants, that's just, there's just more to it. So yeah. it can get that bad for some. Yes.
Yeah. I think I saw that. We have that story in our film with Officer Desiree, where she said, you know, I was just working all the overtime I could, you know, and part of that, her story was, you know, she was trying to shut down the voices in her head. And if she just worked, then, you know, that didn't happen, that she didn't have to worry about those.
Right. Yeah. It's a very real possibility. And that's where when I go out and teach the 10 code mindset, I tell officers, like, we're pretty well overall trained to recognize external risks and external threats, such as when you get out with a larceny suspect and all of a sudden they blade their body or pat their waist or clench their fist or look around as if they want to run. You pick up on these things instinctively with time, but are we trained, are we taught overall how to be aware of what's going on inside our minds and our bodies? No, we're not. And so it's time to raise our self-awareness as to how we're really doing and be honest with ourselves. If something bothers you, it's okay that it bothers you, but don't do what I did and say, I'm fine, it'll pass with time. It doesn't work that way.
So what did you do when you made that comment, I'm fine, but then you realized you really weren't? What did you do?
Oh, there were some times I reached out to a doctor who treated me for post-traumatic stress disorder a year after I got home from Iraq. I never thought that would happen to me, but he treated me well. And I mean, the treatment went well. And then, there were certain times in policing when I was bothered by something and I started to realize it wasn't going away. And I reached out for his professional assistance in more treatment, and it helped a lot. It was through neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm. And how was that received by your fellow officers? Were you like looked at as like, is something wrong with him, or, you know, what's he seen a shrink for?
Oh, well, I reached out to outside help. I didn't even tell anybody about it. My wife was the only one who knew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was because you might get that negative reaction from your fellow officers.
It wasn't that I was so much concerned about the opinions of others. I just didn't want. I don't know. I didn't know a reputation would start. I didn't know if it would be a jeopardizing for my job. I didn't know. So I just kind of played it safe and just kept it under wraps. But I'm glad I got the help. Don't get me wrong, because had I not, who knows what adverse reactions I could have gotten into because of irritability, negativity, or impulsivity, stuff like that. But yeah, I just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. What kind of training did you guys receive? You know, around the area of wellness, mental health, obviously you had to pass a physical to get into that work. What kind of training did you get, you know, for overall mental health?
When I started in 2007, we got, if I remember correctly, maybe a day or two, a course about physical fitness. And then throughout the rookie school, many veteran officers would say, you can't live this job. You have to have friends outside of it, have a hobby outside of the profession. That was about all I got. And then veteran officers would tell me and other new officers at the time. And then I found myself trying to focus on those things. But so far as official training, it didn't happen until 2020 when I was at my 13-year mark. And it only happened because, in my opinion, it only happened because of the devastating year of 2019, when all those police officers in record numbers died by suicide. And then all of a sudden we have this training, and I didn't know while going through my career that I was statistically more of a threat to myself than any bad guy out there. I didn't know. I had no idea. And that did not sit well with me.
What did you do with that information?
I just thought, like, you know, what can I do? And I had a vivid thought, like voice in my head, say, write a book. And of course, you know, our brains like what's familiar, and our brains seek to conserve energy. That's why it's so easy to take the path of least resistance in life, and it works sometimes. And so the first thought was, well, I'm no author. It was kind of that denial at first. And then I thought, no, I care about my fellow officers so much that we can't be miserable anymore. We can't be suffering like this. So I wrote my first book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue. And here we are talking now. And that was back in 2020. And here we are in 2024. I've written four books since, but in addition to that one. But no, I had to do something. And I also go around and speak on growth mindset and building mindset, because we're stronger than than what we can initially believe about ourselves, no matter what we face in life.
Well, that's interesting that you didn't see yourself as an author, as someone who's perhaps an expert on this and can write it in a book and present it. But now you've done four books.
Yes.
So how did that mindset shift?
I was also going through a very personal hardship where in 2016, I'll bring that back up, I resigned from the canine unit in order to save my marriage, essentially. For a year, year and a half, into early 2018, I'm still struggling. Who the heck am I? Because I let the canine role become my identity. And that was my purpose and that was my passion. So I was essentially for a year and a half battling resentment, some level of depression, because the NLP doctor who I went right back to, he said, you're living in the past. You're sad that you're not in the past. And this is like a depressive cycle. And I really had to dive deep into personal development. So I started listening to the all-time greats like Eric Thomas and Les Brown and Tony Robbins and Brian Tracy and all these people who just talk about resilience and the power of the human mind and the power of the human spirit. And I just started thinking, and my thinking started to change. It really did. So when I thought about writing the book, with that initial thought, write a book. And I said, well, I'm no author. I thought, wait a minute, wait. That's denial. I'm aware of that. My self-awareness was a lot more. Thus, the determination to say, no, I'm going to learn how to do this so I can make it happen.
So to have a mind shift like that, it really takes discipline. It takes some kind of training. What did you do on the regular to kind of make that happen?
Well, I started to realize that I wasn't really enacting good habits in my daily life. Like I would wake up, first thing I checked was my phone and social media. Not good for the brain. I didn't know that. And so as I started listening to the personal development experts, they said, don't check the phone, work out, need to read, stuff like that. And I would do that time and time again. And over time, my thinking and my habits and my way of living changed a lot.
You know, I've been working on myself for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, really kind of drilling into, you know, who I am and mindset and all those kind of things. And sometimes I'm doing great. I go weeks and I do all the things, you know, I don't pick up the phone, you know, first thing. I read, I do the workouts in the morning, do the meditation, you know, I'm a person of faith. So I do prayer, you know,
yeah.
I do all the things. But then there's times when it's just like, I can't drag myself out of bed. So why, you know, one, why, if I've set a pattern for myself, why does that happen? And how do I avoid that?
Yeah. I mean, being tired and burned out, that's a thing. And it can be harder. Like my wife and I have a 7.5 week old now, and I have been,
I know what your nights are like,
and I have been very tired, and I have not been getting as much of the meditation, the prayer and the workouts as I should. But I started to realize about 3-4 weeks into it, wait a minute, I'm back in survival mode. I'm going to do what I can do. So I shorten the reading time. I shorten the meditations. I shorten the workouts, just make them a little bit more intense. And I just get in what I can. And I also, if I do feel like physically exhausted, I rest. There's nothing wrong with resting. But if it's one of those where, okay, I need to get out of bed because we got to start the day, I'm going to start it a little bit earlier, even if it's 20 minutes earlier, just to help my mind, because you know the demands of the day are coming. It's better to train your mind than have it abuse you all day long.
You know, I think that's so important to give yourself permission to cut down on the length of time that you're doing these things. I think it's important to understand where you're at physically, mentally, spiritually, and to address that when it's necessary. You know, for a brief moment, I thought I would be joining the 5 a.m. club. And I did for a brief moment. And right. I realized that it wasn't doing for me what all the books were reading. You know, all the books I was reading was telling me, which is fine. And I had to learn to be okay with that.
Yeah,
100%. So, you know, how can we, you know, evaluate ourselves? Well, let me ask you this. What's a good way to evaluate ourselves to see where we're at and see what fits for us in our lifestyle? And what is it that maybe it's something that is a stretch thing for me that I need to push myself into.
Right.
What's the difference there?
I'm a big fan of writing things down, because when you write it down, it gets it out of your brain just from going on loop to loop to loop. And it's kind of like signing a contract. It makes it concrete and permanent. So just three questions, really. What am I doing that's helping me? What am I doing that's hurting me? And then the third question, it can throw you off if this is your first time you're going to do this. Am I being honest with myself? A lot of times on the surface, yeah, it seems like we're being honest, but when we dig deep, we could do certain things different, whether good or stopping what's hurting us and then do more of what's helping us and continue to learn new things as well. We always have to keep learning, and we're never going to know it all. So as Jim Rohn says, a formal education will make you a living. A self-education will make you a fortune. So keep the more you learn, the easier all this is to do.
Mm-hmm. When did that moment for you come when you were like, aha, that's where I have to go. That's what I have to do to get to where I want to go.
I would say, yeah, about early into 2018, after just battling the resentment and the sadness of losing the canine and having to come off patrol and not be with my patrol team and having to learn to be mentally and physically present with my family. But then the personal development stuff started. And when I heard person after person who I was listening to say, you have these limited beliefs, you have limited language, we are more powerful than a lot of people themselves think they can be, I just said, you know, I have to believe that. And I started doing things that I never thought I would do in my life. I never thought I'd be a five-time author, but here I am. I didn't know or even think about life outside of law enforcement, but I had to choose that path. And guess what? I'm still alive. So, it's possible. There's opportunities out there. And I could go on all day about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love what Craig Groeschel talks about. He talks about your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts.
Yes. Yes. You know, when I read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, this was an actual game changer for me as well back in 2019. And when he just pointed out thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to actions, which lead to results, that was all she wrote. I was just like, wow, because all throughout my police career and prior to, even in my personal life, I wasn't very aware of my thoughts and just how powerful thoughts can be. Now, the good news is if people have negative thoughts or straight up defeating thoughts, you don't have to believe them. And that's something else that I had to learn through self-education. You don't have to believe those negative thoughts. But when you, it's as simple as this. When you think about something positive, you feel better. When you think about something sad, you feel sad. And when you feel sad, are you likely to take some ambitious move and work towards a goal? Absolutely not. So yeah, as Professor Seligman with the University of Pennsylvania, I believe he said, you have to garden your thoughts, because if you don't garden, guess what grows up? The weeds, whether you want them to, they're going to grow regardless. So you got to garden, you got to garden.
And for you, I kind of sense that you started creating inputs for your life. You were reading, you were watching, you were doing the things, you were taking in those things. So how important is that in development, in developing our mindset? Because if we watch or we believe and we listen to lies long enough, those lies become truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if we listen to our own lies in our own heads, that becomes truth to us.
Yeah. And you'll start to live that out. Yeah.
You start to live that out. And so how important are those inputs?
Very important. Essentially, when I've embraced the fact that we become what we expose our minds to and we become with the people we're around. It's huge. Now, I know someone might be thinking, particularly any first responder, well, you should see who I have to work with. that is all the more reason to find a group of people who are uplifting and productive and honestly are smarter than you. Like, you always want to seek to be around people who are living a life that you're not living so that you can get to their level. That's not to say they're better than you, and they shouldn't look at it that way, but we should always seek to grow. And I love the phrase, if you're the smartest person in a group, it's time for a different group. And that doesn't mean you be mean to the people that, you've been around. But what we expose our mind to is what we become. And also we are who we are around.
Yeah, that is so true. And if you're stuck in an agency, in a group that where you don't have a choice of being around these people, then outside of that, outside of work, you know, surround yourself with people who can raise you up and lift you up.
Yeah, 100%. And I was one of those who got sucked into the negativity at work at the police department. I mean, my very first year, I quit at my hometown department after dreaming of working at that department for years prior to actually being hired. I quit a year and a half into it because I got sucked into the negativity, and they convinced me that the department was just a sinking ship. It wasn't a sinking ship, but it was a perception I had based on the negativity I was listening to. Now, fortunately, they took me back 8 months later when I realized the big mistake I made, and I begged to come back. And after that, huge awakening and lesson learned. And when I heard the negative officers go, and they were just miserable about work and sometimes what was going on in their personal life, if I felt it start to get to me, I would just walk away or I would change the subject. And the thing is, some officers, well, people who have a limited mindset are going to, like, what's the phrase? Misery loves company. They're going to try to pull you in because heaven forbid you be happy when they're not happy. And it was just all the more reason to, yeah, I would try to be encouraging around them, but if they didn't want to hear anything about it or nothing about that, and they just would want to dwell in their sorrows because it's familiar and comfortable, then yeah, it's just time to create some space.
How long did it take you to kind of develop that positive mindset from what you were experiencing to now, to what you're kind of the new you, the new, you know, forward facing, person that you are now?
I would say during my career, it was just kind of a up and down. I mean, there were times I was good. And then there were times I was not so good. But the ability to always recognize it and then bounce back, that was the game changer. But so far as this new thing about thriving in life and not just surviving, because if we're not careful, we really can go through life in survival mode where you're just going through the motions. And then for a lot of first responders, it's the phrase, I'll be happy when I retire. That's not healthy. You can choose to be happy right now, even in the midst of challenges. That was a big one for me, particularly when I started really diving deep into personal development after having to change for the factor of my marriage and my life as to where it was going, because I couldn't keep holding on to the past. It was bringing me down.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a phrase this morning, and I think it's been kind of spread around, but I forget who said it, and I don't know the exact. I'm going to paraphrase it here, but you know that a lot of people stop living at 25, but we don't bury them until they're 75.
Yes, that's profound. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think I want to go through life. I want to live life to the full. I want to have the full experience. I want to, you know, even when it's hard. And I think that's our culture today likes things easy.
Yes. 100% comfort and ease and quick, really, really quick. And there's people out there giving you the false perception that things can come quick, particularly when it comes to success. Okay. Sometimes people do hit the jackpot and they go viral on something and then their life changes overnight. But did they grow to be the right person to handle that change? Not overnight. So, you know, it's the process as well, who you become during the process. It's very, very important, not just who you are because of the end result.
Yeah. You know, I've said before that we don't learn much on the good days.
Very true. Yeah. Looking back, it's like, wow, when everything was easy, I didn't really become much of a better person or learn a lot.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it takes the hard days. And I can look back at, you know, my bicycle ride across the country last summer. You know, we had easy days. We had great days when the wind was at our back and, you know, we were going downhill and we were just, right. Everything was great. But it was those hard times, we had a headwind and we were hunkering down, just pedaling hard. And, you know, those are the days that I really, you know, I remember more, mm-hmm. Right? And they moved me to the future I want now because they helped me grow in, hey, I can do hard things.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I love the quote by Les Brown, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. That doesn't mean you won't go through hard times, but my gosh, yeah. You're going to have a much stronger perspective. And you know, on the other side of that pain and the problem is victory and things you never thought possible in a good way. But that phrase right there, that was another one that hit me hard when I was having to change 5 or 6 years ago. That's a big one.
Yeah. And, you know, we can't get the physical shape that we want if we don't do, you know, lift the heavy weights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
So in your journey to where you are today, you're writing the books that you did. What's been some of the hardest things that you've had to go through?
Learning. I'm speaking now across the country to first responders, but when I set out to teach and write, it was like, okay, I could do all this, but if nobody notices me, then I'm not going to get anything. So I've had to learn on my own and through the instructions of many other people to which I've invested money. Just like I went to college and spent money to go to college, I'm spending money to learn from people who have been there. I've had to go from law enforcement to learn marketing. I never thought I'd be doing that, but I have to learn it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I have a degree in psychology. I never went to film school and never went to, audio production school. So I had to learn all these things too. And the same thing with marketing and all that. It's a challenge to keep up with the new trends and the new things at work. Right.
Oh, big time, big time. Especially with AI coming into the picture, or been in the picture now for about a year.
Secretly, I love AI. I mean, I've used it in several things. Like I use it to write press releases. And of course, I doctor them up to my own, put my own spin on it as well. But it makes it a little bit easier to create. And so what's your big message for first responders in the talks that you give? Obviously, you don't want to give away your talks here, but what is that big thing that you want first responders to do? What do you want them to get from the work that you're creating?
Yeah, just acknowledge you're human. Bottom line, I tried, I am fine. It didn't work. And then raise your awareness. How are you really doing? And if you're not doing okay, well, then the next thing you must do is take action, because nobody's coming to save you. Yeah, you might have a peer support team, and yeah, you might get professional treatment, but ultimately it's up to you to change your thinking. And yes, those resources can help guide you towards how to do that. But you have to take action for yourself each and every day. Show up for you so that you can show up that much better for others. Because I know you want to be the best version of yourself on that day, showing up at that 911 call. You have that servant's heart. At least the majority of first responders do. So the more you take care of yourself, that just helps you that much more to be better for the public. And that's really the overall message. And in my course, I go through many different things that you can raise your awareness about, but actions you can take, including being mindful of your daily habits. You can start journaling. Yes, I said it, journaling. Just get a lot of things out of your mind.
That word, that journaling word comes up again.
Yeah, but it helped me where I was writing down things I was grateful for. Something as simple as that. And all of a sudden, my brain started to change its way of thinking, and I'm more aware of the blessings around me and not so focused on the negativity. And then, simple stuff, deep breathing. I mean, all these things that we just overlook or are not very popular in American culture, because guess what? They're not easy. Even stuff like exercising can put you in a better mood, and eating better or eating relatively healthy can help you feel better mentally and physically. And it's not saying that you have to go on some extreme diet. Absolutely not. All these different things. Just keep showing up, because you're not going to notice a change overnight. Yeah. But over time, you will. And I'm proof of it, along with many others, that it's worth it, every bit of it. And just like you said, Conrad, we don't grow during the easy times, and we didn't learn a lot during the easy times. So accept the hardness about it and push forward.
Yeah. So what's step one? If there's an officer and he or she is, they're in the thick of it and they're struggling with stuff at home, and their department is making them work swing shifts and they're not getting sleep. What's step one?
Well, those questions earlier I said about, what am I doing that's helping me? What am I doing that's hurting me, regarding my health? And then am I being honest with myself? Yeah, you can do that. But you can also say, what can I do? Because a lot of times we'll focus on things that are out of our control. What can you do? Is it, when you wake up, not check your phone for the first hour while you're awake? Is it waking up earlier or getting to bed earlier so you can wake up earlier to exercise or meditate or do some prayer or all three of those things? What can you do? And doggone it, when you think about something you can do, act upon it and act fast, because your brain's going to try to talk you out of it. That's the crazy thing, because your brain likes what's familiar. Even when you're doing something that's bad for you and you know you need to stop doing it, you'll encounter that resistance within you. Push past it and show up for you.
You know, I think that comes even when a department or an agency doesn't provide all the things that you think they should do. You're still responsible for yourself.
100%, 100%. And we can't lean on the department. We can't lean on, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do anything. There should be leadership. There should be resources. But even if you get a, like guided by the resource, like someone tells you something from the peer support team or like the psychologist even told me, the one I was seeing several years ago, he said, I can only do so much for you. You're the one that had to change your way of thinking. It is on us. It really is. But the thing is, you can do it.
Yeah. And you're proof of it, right?
I am proof of it, but I am not immune to what I speak about. I still have to show up for me each and every day. And trust me, there's been times like recently with the 7 week old, it's been challenging for me and my wife. We have two older boys and it's been 5 years since we had a newborn in the house. So we just forgot how consuming and demanding they can be. And sometimes my wife's like, you're complaining again, but at least she points it out so I can change course.
Yeah. Well, wait till you get to my age and you have grandkids. Then it's nice. You can just hand them back.
Yeah, right.
That's the blessing about being a grandparent. So.
Right. My dad, whenever he interacts with my kids, he, or they'll act up or something in front of him, he'll say, oh, Scott, just remember 18 more years of this.
Yeah. Well, so tell me about your books and where can people get them and what will they people benefit from, you know, from reading your books?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll just be encouraged through reading them, realizing you're not alone. A lot of times when we go through struggles, we feel like we're on our own. I know when I battled an addiction, I felt like I was alone. Like how, but yeah, I mean, little did I know, many people were going through it, but my first book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, just kind of points out the basic mental health aspects of depression, anxiety, PTSD, things that police officers and other first responders are more at risk of facing if they don't actively cope on their mindset and take care of their bodies as well. And then I didn't really focus too much on solutions in that book. I gave a few. So I said, let me get a little bit more solution oriented, because if we focus on a problem, we're just going to get more of the problem. So let's some solutions. And I wrote 101 health tips for police officers. And honestly, a lot of the things in there are free. A lot of the things in there don't cost money. It's not like you have to join the most expensive CrossFit gym or anything like that. There's just simple things you can do, but consistently to see the effect. And then I thought, you know what? I miss working as a training officer. And I really do to this day. So I wrote two books for the newer officers, Truths Beyond the Police Academy and 101 Useful Tips for Rookie Police Officers. And a lot of it goes into, look, you're going to be told about tactics, law, policy, the Constitution. Those are all great things, but there's going to be things you're not taught about, which is basically taking care of yourself and not getting sucked into the negativity and also remembering who you are as a person prior to the badge and who you are during it. So that you don't get too wrapped up into the job. And then the book I recently just released is The Power in Showing Up, Rising in Challenge to Service to Others. There's going to be challenges. You're experiencing things that your human brain never wants you to be a part of. And if you're not careful, even during your personal life, you can experience trauma. If you're not careful and you don't show up for you, you'll go through hardships that you could have prevented. But if you do go through those hardships and you have to change because of a reactive state like I did, keep showing up. It's worth it. And you can come out on the other side a lot stronger than you ever thought possible. And life can open up opportunities you never thought would happen. So that's it on the books. And they're all on Amazon. And I know I speak for many police officers where we don't have long attention spans, but that's humans in general nowadays. So I didn't make the books very long.
And you have a podcast as well, right?
I do. I have a YouTube channel and a podcast. They kind of line up with each other just a little bit, but I mean, both of them are called the 10 Code Mindset. In addition to the 10 Code Mindset presentation that I give across the country, it's a good. I mean, hey, I've got something, at least something every month to finish out 2024, and already planning on 2025. So it's growing, and I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. So what's one book or one video resource that helped you outside of your books that you would recommend someone to kind of, you know, kind of grab onto?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, out of the many books I've read since, I would say Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And you might be thinking, well, I have no ambitions of being a millionaire. First off, why not? What could it hurt if you become a millionaire? But I was really shocked to learn about the thinking process that a lot of people don't have, and myself included. And if you're not careful, you go right back into it in the survival mode, such as focusing on problems and not solutions. And the phrase I said earlier, thoughts lead to feelings, feelings lead to actions, and actions lead to results. It was a very dynamic book. And then a video, I would say, is something I've done for the last 2 years. If you go to YouTube and you look up Tony Robbins meditation, it's 15 minutes. So yes, you might have to work your way up for the 15 minutes, but I have a very hard time sitting down and focusing. I'm a very go-getter kind of person. That's why I enjoyed police work so much. But that meditation, that guided meditation keeps my attention the whole time. It really does. So that was a game changer for me as well, and really helping to think about the future and vision things I would want to do from the future and actually feel emotions with it and not just always feel emotions from the past and let them pull me back, you know, that kind of thing. So those are the two things: Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, and then Tony Robbins meditation video in the morning. I'm Catholic. So whenever he says breathe in and picture some light coming into you, I just picture the cross in front of me and the light of Christ is coming into me as I breathe it in and say, how may I do your will today, Lord?
Hmm. That's awesome. So to speak to that chief out there who is maybe struggling with some of his guys and gals that maybe are struggling, what would you recommend for a leader to do to kind of get his or her troops, you know, back in line and on the best path?
Well, the first thought that comes to mind is the quote by John C. Maxwell, who's a leadership expert. We know that nobody cares about how much you know until they know about how much you care. So are you in tune with your troops? But also, what are they being exposed to first thing when they walk into that police department? Like when I would walk into roll call, particularly later in my career, I would walk into roll call and everybody was on their phones. No officers were talking to each other. And then they would come in and go over the emails that the administration had sent out. And then they would say, all right, and we need to do this better. Okay, go out there, be safe. Roll call is the time when they could have given an encouraging message, or they could have just shown an inspirational video, or they could have said, hey, let's talk. How is everyone doing? Or point out something good an officer did. All these things just feed some positivity, feed some encouragement, feed some inspiration, get into and connect with each other, because people need people. Those are the things I would suggest.
And then what would you say to that officer who's struggling?
One, don't fight the struggle. You are going to fight through the struggle. The fact that because I love the phrase, what you resist persists. So if you beat yourself up because you're struggling, or you shame yourself in the fact that you're struggling, that's not going to help at all. Trust me, when I was going through an addiction, I would shame myself. I'd say, I am better than this. And, you know, why me? This shouldn't be happening to me. I'm horrible for letting this happen to me. That never helped. I picked up the phone and I called the doctor and I got the assistance I need. However, I know it's easy for me to say, seek out help. Let's do this. Picture your future self who's done what you want to accomplish talking to you. What would they tell you to do? And be honest with yourself. What would they tell you to do? And when they tell you to do something, act on it immediately. Be quick with it. Even if it's just going into the living room and doing a few push-ups or taking some deep breaths or taking the news app off your phone, anything to help your mind out step by step. But still, my message is sometimes we need professional assistance, and that's okay. And what I did was I reached out outside of the department, and I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm. So finally, what would you say if you could go back to your rookie self? What would you tell yourself back then?
Oh gosh. I would say, you might not be living the job. You understand the importance of taking days off and not listening to your radio on days off and not living the job, but who are you as a person? You better stay in touch with that, because do not rely on external factors and what you're doing to define who you are. Because if you're going through the career and you get pulled away from an assignment, or like I was, you had to resign your dream assignment for family reasons, and you let your identity become in that role, you're going to be hurting bad, like I was. So remember who you are, because you do what you do because of the person you are. You aren't who you are because of what you do.
And so give everyone your contact information, your website, and where can they find you?
Absolutely. And thank you again, Conrad, for having me on. My website is thescottmedlin.com, and you can get in touch with me through the website, but I'm also on LinkedIn, on Instagram at the 10 Code Mindset. And yeah, I'd love to connect for sure.
I really appreciate you coming on the program today, Scott. And thanks for your insight. Thanks for your wisdom.
Tell me a little bit about you. Tell me a little bit about you.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Scott, for spending time with me on the show today. Be sure to check out Scott's books. I have links to all of them in the show notes. And a big thanks to all of you who have taken time to listen, to watch, and especially if you've taken time to leave a review. I really do appreciate it, and I read every single one. And if you haven't left a review yet, please do. I want to be sure I'm bringing content to you that you want to hear, and your reviews help. And remember, you are not alone. And if you need someone to talk to and don't know where you can turn, you can dial 988 for help. Be sure to tune in next week for another interview with an amazing first responder leader. And until then, be well, take care of yourself and those around you, and go out and do something great in the world.